I want to say good evening to everyone. It is indeed a pleasure to stand before you all again to speak from God's Word. I want to make an announcement before I begin. On the next Sunday morning, Brother Michael Hurst from up at Sturgis will be with us in Utica. So if you all have an opportunity, I think you all support Brother Hurst. And if you all have an opportunity to come and hear him next Sunday morning with us, we'd be certainly glad to have you. If you would, please turn your Bibles over to Numbers chapter 16. We're going to begin reading there at verse number 1. We'll read down through verse 11. Numbers 16, verses 1 through 11. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan, Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and they said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves. All the congregation is holy, and every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Korah." Then Moses said to Korah, "You sons of Levi, excuse me." Then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them? And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you, and are you seeking the priesthood also? Therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" Here we find Korah, one of the offsprings of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, rising up against Moses and Aaron. They're telling Moses and Aaron, "You're taking too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy, and every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then, Aaron and Moses, why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly?" In other words, they're saying, "Why are you ruling over us? We are all equal with you. Who made you and Aaron so important?" Moses said to them that tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. "You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." Moses is saying, "Let God choose who is his and who he deems to be holy. You're putting yourselves in the place of God. Thereby, you all are taking too much upon yourselves." So what they were doing, what they were accusing Moses of, they were guilty of that themselves. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Again, there are times when brethren in the church, when they will rise up against the elders and the preachers and the deacons and accuse them of trying to run the church. In other words, they're telling the leaders of the church, "You're taking too much upon yourselves." In most cases, these are the ones who sit back and do nothing, but get upset with the things that others are doing. See, I guess in the back of their minds, they can always think that I can do things better, but they don't do it. And then when those who are working hard in the service of the Lord to lead God and his people, they rise up against them These are the type of people that don't want to be under other people. They don't want to be under the direction of the preachers and the elders and the deacons. They take too much upon themselves. And they accuse those whom God has chosen to lead over the flock. You know, we have to realize as church members that all of us in the church have different functions or different gifts to use in the services of the Lord. There's plenty for all of us to do, but we have to be willing to do it. Notice in verse 8, Moses says to Korah, he asks him a question, "Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the work of the tabernacle and stand before the congregation and serve them? Is it a small thing with you, Korah, to do the work that God has chosen you to do?" That's our subject tonight. Is it a small thing? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. God had given Korah, family of Kohath, they had been given a responsibility or a job by God to take care of the things of the tabernacle, of the congregation, and to serve it. I guess they felt like this was beneath them. You see, this is beneath us. We should be leaders like Moses. Matter of fact, we should be the over Moses and Aaron. You see, you know, a lot of times there are jobs in the church that we feel that are beneath us. Jobs that, according to our ability, we are capable to do of doing. You know, in Numbers 3, verse 28 through 31, we find there the deeds or the job that Korah, the family of Kohath, had been deemed by God, or God had put them over. And that was to taking care of the sanctuary. In verse 31 of Numbers chapter 3, their duty included the ark, the table, the lampstands, the utensils of the sanctuary with which they were to minister, the screens, the veil, and all the work relating to them. So God had given them a job to do. Take care of the things of the tabernacle. This is your job to do. But this was a small thing, apparently, to them. Also, you find over in Numbers chapter 4, you find that Moses and his sons, they had been put over the Kohath to make sure that they did the things that God wanted them to do in the sanctuary. They were to take these holy things, Aaron and his sons, and they were to place these things in bundles and things, I guess, so that they could carry them in the tabernacle. But Korah and his sons, or Kohath, the sons of Kohath, they were not to touch these things, but they were to carry these things. And so Aaron and his sons were given the responsibility to assign each one of them to this service, to this task, to this job. But again, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they felt like these things were beneath them. And they felt that they should be doing more, I guess, be more in the leadership role, as many we have in the church today. And Moses again asked him, "Is it a small thing with you to do the things that God has put you to do, has set for you to do?" Tonight I want to ask us this same question about some things to see, is it a small thing with us to do these things that we have been commanded to do or called to do by God in the church today? Is it a small thing with you to assemble with the saints on the first day of the week as God has commanded? Is that a small thing? Again, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, to serve God one with another." Is that a small thing? You know, we act like it sometimes. Oh, I don't need to go to church in the morning. I'm not going to learn anything new there. You know, it's the same old faces there. It's a small thing with us. Is it a small thing? Same old faces. I might be as arrogant to say, you know, I get tired of seeing those same old faces every Sunday. Well, who else do you expect to see? Bring somebody with you, you see. Bring somebody with you. That'll be a new face. Is it a small thing? Is it a small thing with us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it a small thing? 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, it's a few of them there I love, but some of them I just don't love. Is that a small thing? You can decide like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram that, you know, I can control these things. You know, I can choose who to love and who not to love. That's a small thing. John says we should love one another, for God is love. Is it a small thing with us? Is it a small thing to study God's word and obey it? Is that a small thing with us? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're commanded to study God's word, to be diligent in it, to know God's word. Is that a small thing? Well, I don't need to study God's word. I've been in the church for 20 years. I don't need to study anymore. Is that a small thing? I know more than everybody there at church. I don't need to go to Bible study. I'll just go for worship services. You see, I know everything already. You see. Well, if you know everything, why aren't you there helping the people that don't know? Is that a small thing with you? Is that a small thing with us? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. We have to be obedient in all things that God has commanded us. There is nothing that is too small that God has commanded us to do. It's nothing too small. Hebrews 5 and verse 8 and 9. We have to be obedient. Christ Jesus himself, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Is it a small thing to obey the Lord? To study his word? You have a lot of people who study the word of God to support what they believe, not what the Bible has requested that they believe. They study the Bible to find scriptures to support their belief, whatever that is. And they do twist the scriptures at times just to make the scriptures agree with them and their lifestyle. Is it a small thing with them? Rather taking God's word, applying it to them, applying it to us. Well, I have to take God's word. I have to apply it to me. If I don't, then it is a small thing to me. I want to address my sisters now. I want to talk to the ladies here. Is it a small thing for you sisters to do that which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works, to learn in silence with all submission, to not teach or have the authority over a man? Is it a small thing with you? Oh, you got women today, they want to preach. You see. They're like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I can preach better than any man at the church. I know more than any man there. You see. Is that a small thing, though? That the Apostle Paul says that you're not to teach or usurp the authority over a man. You are to learn in silence. Well, I tell you, sometimes the brethren say something and I just got to speak out and let them know they're wrong. Well, that's all right. Let him know after services. Okay, let him know that he's wrong. Is that a small thing to learn in silence? That's 1 Timothy 2, verses 10 through 12. Also, for my sisters. And Titus 2, verse 4 through 5. Is it a small thing for you to love your husbands? To love your children? To be discreet? To be chaste? To be homemakers? Good? Obedient to their own husbands? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Is this a small thing with you? Yeah. I tell my husband what to do at home. I'm not going to be under the subjection of any man. Is it a small thing with you? I wear the pants in my house, not my husband. You see. You know, and again, God, just like he gave Korah or the sons of Levi, of Kohath, of the family of Kohath, just as he gave them jobs to do in the tabernacle, to take care of the articles of the tabernacle, and to serve in the tabernacle. See, you know, God didn't look down upon them and said that you are beneath Moses or Aaron. But this is a job that I want you to do. I think as women in the church, we have to take what God has commanded women to do when it comes to his services. To love their children. Love your children. Take care of your children. Take care of the home. You know, again, we live in a society today where they would say that they would probably read these scriptures and say these are degrading scriptures. They're putting women in a low position. They're putting them under a man. And we are equal with men. So it would be a small thing with them to take the role that God has given women in the church. Is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to repent of your sins? Is it a small thing? Jesus said in verse 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you're going to all likewise perish. Is it a small thing to repent? Yeah. There are those who refuse to repent. They will do something wrong. It will be known before the whole church. But they will refuse to repent. I'm not going to repent, you see. I don't think I need to repent, you see. Well, if you've done wrong, you have to repent. Paul told Simon the sorcerer, Simon, you've got to repent. Your heart is not right. Is that a small thing? Is it a small thing to give up the sin and pleasures of the world and serve God through the act of repentance? Changing a lifestyle. Is it a small thing? No, I'll repent. But I'm not going to give up the things that I love in the world. Well, you haven't repented then. It's a small thing with you. It's a small thing with me if I have that type of attitude. Is it a small thing with you to confess your faith in Christ Jesus? Is that a small thing? Jesus said, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Is it a small thing to confess Jesus and to serve him? Is it a small thing? I don't need to confess Jesus. I don't need to say it openly. People can see it in me. I'm a confessed believer. I believe confession takes place with the mouth. I mean, you should live a godly life. I should be able to see it in you. But let me hear it. Is it a small thing with you? Are you ashamed to confess Jesus? Because Jesus said if you are ashamed to confess him, he'll be ashamed to confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. Is it a small thing to confess our sins? That kind of goes back around to that thing about repentance. But is it a small thing with us to confess our sins? 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word of God is not in us. Is it a small thing to confess our sins? Well, I'm just ashamed to confess my sins. Well, you're making that a small thing. You know, confession, repentance, it starts with godly sorrow. Yes, we should be ashamed when we sin. That's right. We should be ashamed. We have sinned before God. But that's not, but the biggest thing, I guess, or the greatest thing you can do is to confess that sin. If you do not confess that sin, it is a small thing with you. You see. You're being defiant of God's word. That's what Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were. They were defiant. They wanted to take Moses' place and Aaron's place. That's what they wanted. They wanted a higher job, see. They wanted to be in charge. But God had given them a job to do that before God was a respectable job. Jesus said, he who is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Of course, Moses and Aaron were servants. But Korah, they were servants there in God's in the tabernacle. It was a job of respect before God. But if we are defiant and not willing to confess our sins, then that tells me that is a small thing with us. It's a small thing. It has no value. See? My soul salvation has nothing to do with me confessing my sins. That's the attitude. That's a small thing. When we just read here that John says that we have to confess our sins. And if we say we have not sinned, we're making Christ Jesus our Lord a liar. And his word is not in us. Is it a small thing? Is it a small thing to be baptized into Christ? Is it a small thing? Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who believes not shall be condemned. Is it a small thing to be baptized? Well, I don't see any need to be baptized. You know, folks will tell you that in the denominational world. Baptism is not essential to salvation. It's not necessary. You see. What good is getting wet going to do for you other than get you wet? It's a small thing with them. Am I right or wrong? That's a small thing. But God has commanded us to be baptized. It is not a small thing. It is a great thing. What does baptism do? It makes us sons of God. You cannot be a son of God without being baptized. You ask, are you a child? Oh, yes, I'm a child of God. Well, how did you become a child of God? Well, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. I accepted him in my heart. I said the sinner's prayer. That's how I became a child of God. Well, that's not what God commanded you to do in order to become a child of God. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We become sons of God through our faith in God and baptism. One has to be baptized. Baptism is not a small thing. Is it a small thing with you that Christ died for your sins? Is that a small thing? God gave his only begotten Son, the perfect Lamb, to die for sinners. Is that a small thing with us? Jesus had to die for me. He had to die for me, and I appreciate him doing it. But is it a small thing? Do you know that the perfect Lamb of God gave his life for you? That you were a sinner. The time you were God's enemy. The time that we were God's enemy, he sent his Son to die for us. He's demonstrated his love through Christ. But is that a small thing? No, ma'am, and no, sir. Christ gave us. That should humble us. We should be humbled by the fact that Christ, and matter of fact, we should feel extremely sorry going back up to that repentance, because again, godly sorrow worketh repentance. We should be sorry that we have done things in which Christ had to die for in order for us to be saved. It's not a small thing. It is a great thing. Finally, is it a small thing with you to be a Christian? Is that a small thing? Do you realize that a Christian is greater than John the Baptist? Do you realize that? Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 11, surely I say to you, among those born of a woman, there has not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The least Christian in the church is greater than John the Baptist. And we hold John the Baptist with high esteem. But the least Christian, Jesus says, he's greater than John. Why? Because John was never a member of the Lord's church. John was never a member. John died before the church was established. Is it a small thing to be a Christian? To be a Christian is the greatest honor, the greatest privilege, the greatest thing that has ever been bestowed upon mankind. It is not a small thing. Again, we have to go back to the Savior. He gave his life so that we could become Christians, children of God. Is it a small thing? You know, we might say that no, being a Christian is a very important thing for me. But yet, we don't act in a manner in which Christians are commanded to act. Dathan, Abiram, and Korah didn't act in a manner in which God had requested that the sons of Kohath, the descendants of Kohath, were to act to carry out his word. We don't act like a Christian. Oh, we say we are a Christian. But now it goes back to that point I said earlier. But we don't look like a Christian. Well, how is a Christian supposed to look? Well, you need to study God's word. See how a Christian is supposed to look. Well, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Being a Christian requires good works. I'm a Christian on Sunday morning. Okay. You and a lot of other hypocrites on Sunday morning. A Sunday morning Christian. That's a small thing. 6 other days a week, being a Christian is a small thing with me. Oh, but on Sunday morning, you can't beat me to church because I am a Christian. I'm a child of God. Is that a small thing? What about Wednesday night? Well, I told you a few minutes ago, I told you way back up there that I just don't need to study. You know, I've been in the church too long to study. But there's a job for you. Now you can teach. You see. Now you can teach other people. Why are you at home? You see. Well, I just don't want to get up and before people and teach. Well, let me tell you, the greatest lesson you could ever teach somebody about coming to study God's word is that you be there and they can see you there. Well, if he's there, and he doesn't need to study God's word, but he's here with us. That man's a Christian. Is it a small thing to be a Christian? At the end of the day, when we've done everything that we've been commanded to do, we need to say, we are all unprofitable servants. We have done what is our duty. Luke chapter 17, the verse 13. All of us are unprofitable servants. From the elders on down, we're all unprofitable servants. We've only done what we've been commanded to do. That's right. So why would I want to take the jobs of the elders when I, first of all, I'm not qualified, but then secondly, there's something else for me to do. You remember when they chose those men to serve tables? The disciple said that, you know, choose these seven men who we may will put over this business, that we could dedicate our time and attention to teaching and the preaching of God's word. Their job was to preach and teach God's word. Those seven men's job were to take care of the tables. And they chose men who were willing to do that. You see. The greatest job that one can have in the kingdom of heaven is to just simply be a servant. To be a servant. That's not a small thing. Being a servant. Jesus said, he who is greatest among you, let him be your servant. That's our lesson tonight. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the Lord in any way, we'll ask you to please come as together we stand, as together we sing.